Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon's upon the board, pardon the bad grammar, but would you read it with me? I can't get no satisfaction. Based on our reading from 1 Thessalonians 3:3, listen to these words again. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for each other and for all, so he may establish your hearts blameless and holiness before God and our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. I read that a vote or a poll was taken of radio listeners to ask them, what is the number one rock and roll song of all time? The winner was that 1965 song by the Rolling Stones entitled, read it with me again, please, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. This song does indeed have a catchy tune and a very exciting beat, but the song also speaks to a basic dilemma of everybody around us, and maybe to yourself as well. Because as human beings, we are in the constant quest for something, for anything that will bring us satisfaction. The song has a memorable refrain that says, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and one more time, read it with me, I can't get no satisfaction. Today's epistle reading from chapter 3 of Thessalonians tells us about real satisfaction. This satisfaction that God brings to us now that will fill our lives and that come to completion, as Samantha told us in the young people's message, as Jesus comes back to usher in the end of the world. We're talking about Advent. Listen again to this text about real satisfaction. Paul says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God our Father at the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Now, let's get back to the song. I can't get no satisfaction. I tried to engage the services of Mick Jagger to come today to sing for us. He couldn't come. He said his stand-in for many concerts, Ben Sue, could do it for him, but Ben is too shy. He wouldn't do it either. So just keep in mind this song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. You can almost hear the history of life in North America for these past 56 years in the words of this song. In 1965, it was written. But listen to how this song talks about our lives today. I've tried, now not I, but I'm making a list of things. I've tried illegal drugs, and I can't get no satisfaction. I tried alcohol on the party scene, and I can't get no satisfaction, says people today. I've tried sexual relationships out of marriage, and I can't get no satisfaction. I've tried money and all the toys that money can buy, and I can't get no satisfaction. I've tried to work hard, play hard, keep my calendar full, but I can't get no satisfaction. I have tried it all, says this song, and say it with me, even though I have tried it all, I can't get no satisfaction. When you boil it all down, the search for satisfaction ends up taking three paths. These paths are on your sermon outline today. These paths are called happiness, thrills, and pleasure. You can call them by different names, but the motivation and desired outcome is still the same. We are trying to create satisfaction for ourselves. Now, as we discuss these things, please don't waste any time pointing your fingers at other people saying, I know somebody like this. Consider your own life. Some people are obsessed with happiness. We want to find that time and that place in life where there will always be a smile on our face and no tears in our eyes. We want to live in a Disneyland world all the time, forgetting that Disneyland is simply an illusion and a temporary escape at best. In opposition to this, Jesus tells us in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. That is, believe it or not, our life today is not one never-ending, happy, happy, happy. In our hearts, we know this is true. But we behave like the lyrics in this rock and roll song, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I can get no lasting happiness. Why? Because this is part of the reality of living in a sinful and fallen world. And sometimes when we discover that happiness doesn't last, we try something else, and that might be thrills. One wonders if people today, if we have an obsession with thrills. We buy cars that can travel faster than we can ever do it safely. We look for the biggest and fastest roller coaster we can ride. We want that adrenaline rush of living dangerously. For other people, the elusive thrill is linked to the excitement of gambling. Whatever the thrill of gambling might be, we should never lose sight of the sorrow that it produces. How many people have lost their rent money, their mortgage money, their food money, for the next thrill, the roll of the dice or the pulling of the lever? Gambling searches for the thrill to find that elusive satisfaction. However, just like happiness, we learn in our sinful world that thrills don't last. And in order for thrills to be thrills, they have to be bigger and bigger and bigger. Blues singer B.B. King is world famous for the lyrics of one of his songs that declares, "The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away." Finally, for some, the quest and for satisfaction, what's the last word in your outline? We've gone from happiness to thrills. What's the next one? Pleasure. Regarding the search for pleasure in North American life, let's today, for time's sake, just talk about one thing. Sex. My goodness, the pastor said that word from the pulpit. Sex is a wonderful gift of God when it's enjoyed in the context it's meant to be used in a marriage relationship. But our society's never-ending quest for sexual pleasure in any way, with any person, in any context, brings such terrible realities as teenage pregnancies, people suffering from sexually transmitted diseases, the staggering use of abortion for birth control, marriages destroyed by adulterous affairs. Again, listen to the Rolling Stones song. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I can't get no satisfaction. Now, there's a reason why worldly things like happiness and pleasure and thrills can't bring us real and lasting satisfaction. It's because all of these things have to be imported into our life from outside of ourselves, from the sinful, fallen world outside of ourselves. And whenever that world around us changes, and people change, and circumstances change, and they will, we are forced to realize that satisfaction, a sense of being content, once again has eluded us. What St. Paul talks about in Galatians 5, and listen to what he says, Paul calls this the works of the flesh and the acts of the sinful nature, these things are forever unsatisfying. These things that we depend upon to satisfy us do not satisfy. We can say, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. But there's another reason they don't satisfy. And Samantha brought this up in this children's message. Because pouring these things of the world into our lives is like pouring water into a vegetable strainer. No matter how much you pour into the strainer, it won't fill up. Here's the illustration again. Here's our lives. The scripture says that we all have a hole in our souls, and try as we might to fill our lives with the things of this world, it's like pouring water through a sieve. We are never filled up. We have holes in our souls. No matter how much we pour into our lives, it all runs out. It doesn't fill us up. No matter how many attempts at happiness, thrills, or pleasure you pour into your life, you're really not going to be satisfied. St. Augustine put it this way. St. Augustine is the spiritual father of Luther. St. Augustine said, "Our soul is restless until it finds its rest in you, O God." A paraphrase could be, there is a God-shaped hole in every one of our souls. And try as we might to fill this hole with what the world has to offer, it's like pouring water through a sieve. But thanks be to God, that is not the case with the gifts that God gives to us. God's gifts through our Lord Jesus Christ fills that hole in our heart and souls. This isn't in the sermon, but somebody here needs to hear this. That's why I believe the Spirit of God has nudged me. How many times have I been at the hospital bed of a person who is slowly getting ready to die? Or how many times have I been at the hospice in Ladner or the hospice on Four Road here in Richmond and stood by or sat by the bedside holding a hand or touching the brow of a person who knows they're soon to die? Not one of these persons ever said to me, "I wish I made more money." Not one of them ever said to me, "I wish my car was faster or bigger." Not one person said to me, "I wish my house was worth a lot more." Not one of them said to me, I wish my RSPs had more income in them. They learned at this moment of death that these things of life, which can be good and noble things, cannot fill the hole in the soul. But thanks be to God, God's gifts truly satisfy. I've raised her name before. I've checked with her. She says it's okay to talk about her again. One of our former members, Ernest Selman at Richmond Hospice, told me shortly before she died, "It's okay. All these things in my life have been taken away, my health and now my life, but God is stronger. God is better. God fills the hole in our souls." Look at your sermon outline, point 3. Here's just a short list of gifts that God gives us that truly satisfy. God's never-ending love for us. No matter what life throws our way. Have you sinned? Have you made mistakes? Have you broken your heart and the hearts of others? God's love for you never changes for you, no matter what life throws your way. Another gift of God, His absolute promise written in blood. Look at our Savior on the cross. That your many sins are forgiven and washed away. Nothing can take that gift from you. The promise given to all of us at our baptism that He is our Father, He will never leave us or forsake us. The promise that we are the temple of His Holy Spirit and He lives in us by faith to guide and direct us. Here's a precious gift of God, the reality that this short life is not all that there is, but He has prepared a place for us with Him in heaven forever. The gift of His holy word, His holy baptism, His holy supper to strengthen our faith and keep us in the true faith. The fellowship of believers in the church to stand by our side and support us. To some of our unbelieving friends and family and neighbors this week, I was able to brag about this congregation and individual people in it who stand up at a moment's notice and serve God when that need is there, who faithfully care for others in the name of Christ. How blessed we are to have this family of God. This is just a quick list. And the end of realizing we have gifts like this, the end result is what the Bible calls the joy of the Lord. There's a big difference between joy and happiness. Watch me. This is happiness. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm sad, sometimes I'm happy. If the weather changes, if my team loses, if I don't like my meal, up and down. Happiness depends on circumstances. But the joy of the Lord is our strength, which means we have God's strength and His presence no matter what life throws this way. He fills the hole in our soul so we can proclaim the joy of the Lord, not the happiness of this life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And in this season of Advent, let me say, I'd rather have the joy of the Lord than anything else this sinful world has to offer. As Samantha told us already, Advent is the season of hope and joy, of Jesus first coming to our earth in the babe of Bethlehem, and at the end of time returning as the King of Kings. This is why we sing such a powerful Advent hymn as this: joy to the world! The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. My friends, God does give us what we need. He fills the hole in our souls. He satisfies us. Now, this doesn't mean we are going to have everything the world around us says we should have. This does not mean we're going to have everything that we think we should have. But it means God will finally give us everything we truly need. So we can sing with confidence the verse of this hymn. Listen to this hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Can't get no satisfaction? No, not from with what this world has to offer. But as Holy Scripture says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And as an old gospel song says, listen to this carefully, this joy I have, the world didn't give to me. The world didn't give, and the world can't take it away. Thank you, dear Lord, for your gift of real satisfaction. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, Amen.